What he has done is he has sought professional counseling with regards moving forward in anything like this situation. Once he understands his situation, he is now working towards being a better man moving forward. By no means, from an organizational standpoint, is this a guarantee of anything. As we all know, you know, trust has to be earned, and that has to be earned with the Cleveland Browns organization and the community of Cleveland moving forward. So this will be a day-to-day thing in terms of earning trust.
That's Browns GM John Dorsey. Browns signed Kareem Hunt. Should the Texans have considered it? I say no. And one of the main reasons is just a pure, well, it's not a pure football reason, but it affects the football field directly, which is Kareem Hunt is still under investigation by the NFL. So there's a really good chance that he's going to serve a 4-6 game suspension. And off-field stuff aside, which we'll get into in a second here, I'm just talking just the pure football. When you're looking at the running back position, I need to find somebody who is available for us all 16 games, and one I think I can count on.
Well, you're paying him $1 million.
I don't think that's an issue.
Right, so, I mean, you're barely paying the guy. I mean, would you rather have Buddy Howell or Kareem Hunt? That's the way I look at
it. That's a very good question there.
And now Kareem that you Hunt, phrase it that way.
For whatever reason, I'm still not quite certain why people acted. I almost felt like people thought it was a noble thing to do to act like the Chiefs wouldn't miss Kareem Hunt on the football field all that much.
Spencer Ware, you kidding me?
I don't know. I don't get it.
Like, Charcandrick West.
I understood the argument that like the other playmakers were kind of enabling Kareem Hunt to do what he did. Yeah, but he was still very capable of taking advantage of those opportunities in a way that other people weren't.
We were on the same page as this, Seth, and Mike, I think you were with us as well, where we were like, This is like one of the best running backs in the NFL.
And yes. This is one now, of the best the offenses we've seen, and you take away a major playmaker from that
offense.
It's
going to take a step back.
It's a big deal.
It did.
Now, as it turned out, I did think Damian Williams was really good in the playoffs, and especially against the pass. But that's neither here nor there. From a Texans standpoint, what would you guys have thought about Kareem Hunt?
I didn't think they should. Although I will say this. I think that there's an avenue where teams, if they just did a better job of this, I think you can make the argument that, look, depending on specific situations, if you have a rock-solid actual program for guys and you're genuinely committed to it and you're putting resources into other issues in the community and everything, which the Texans do, I think that you can credibly say, hey, we're bringing this guy in, but this is our program. We'll have, like, the protocol. Royce White always wanted a protocol, even though he didn't know what it was. We'll have an actual protocol for how to handle these guys, including monitoring for alcohol. Because, well, does anybody have any question that Kareem Hunt, if you just take alcohol away, probably doesn't get in these three situations he's been in? Alcohol was involved in all three of them. If Dorsey had gotten up there yesterday and said, we don't think this will happen again, because you know why? For one, aside from the counseling we're going to make him do on a daily basis, we're also going to test him for alcohol daily at any time during the 24-hour period.
Like Josh Gordon.
Then I'd believe, oh, wow, you actually are doing something to prevent a further incident. I don't know. Maybe they're not allowed to divulge something like that. Maybe he is already under that circumstance. I just don't trust that the Browns are the team to do it.
It's a good thing that Kareem Hunt's in a place where he's never had any bad experiences before, where he also doesn't have any close family or friend connections that could potentially lead him down the wrong path. I mean, you know, he grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, but the Cleveland Browns, they don't play in Cleveland, Ohio. Just kidding.
They're in Berea. Berea's got to be at least 10 minutes from Cleveland. There's no bad influences there.
He's totally fine.
He's not an Uber drive away from exactly where this latest incident happened.
Just get him on a compound, gate the compound off, get some armed guards, you're good.
Of all the guys, I mean, you look at Aaron Hernandez. I mean, how much closer was Bristol, Connecticut to the facility?
It's only an hour and a half or so. You know, it's actually pretty far. Do you want to drive through Connecticut and Rhode Island?
Do you think Bill Belichick, in his heart of hearts, do you think Bill Belichick actually even regrets having Aaron Hernandez on his team?
In his heart of hearts.
Do you think he's going to like, oh, we
made a Super Bowl.
Assess the risk.
I mean, they made a Super Bowl because of him. I
didn't win a Super Bowl. You know. My only regret is that Aaron Hernandez never got to win a Super Bowl.
I mentioned Monday that there is no sports god. One of the things I will not let go is how Hernandez was great against the Texans in 2012, and I just will not let it go because he murdered Odin Lloyd. I will not let the
what does one have to do with the other?
Technically, they don't, but it bothers me.
He was an incredibly good multitasker. He was doing all of this while also producing on the football field. A lot of people make excuses.
It affected me as a fan. That's why.
Yeah. He totally duped them. I mean, he totally fooled the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah, so which is something else, considering his track record at Florida.
And I don't want to get off track here. I'm just trying to take a shot at the Patriots. But as far as bringing somebody in, and actually doing right by them, like, John Dorsey is trying to act like, we're going to give this young man a second chance. Like, no, you're just saying, why don't you just say what you want? Like,
right.
He's a really good running back.
He's getting a second chance because he's talented, not because he's rehabilitating himself.
Right, and we're going to try to do everything we can to be sure that we help out, like, victims of violence, because it's not domestic abuse, but violence against women, but also to be sure this never happens again. I would say this, if I'm the NFL, this is what the NFL is in a unique position to do. They are in a position, they have the financial resources to actually do violence against women and domestic violence intervention correctly. Like, if you look at domestic violence, experts will say, like, they don't believe in zero tolerance because there needs to be a path towards, like, financial stability. You want women to be able to report it and feel comfortable that it's not going to destroy everything. So, like, in society, you could say, oh, wow, yeah, have extreme intervention. Throw all kinds of resources to it. We don't have the money for it. NFL teams do have the money for it, but they do these little dog and pony show press conferences where they act like, oh, we're going to give them all the resources. Like, what are the resources, John Dorsey? Please tell me, what are the resources? Because in Kansas City, Andy Reid had all these clowns dumped into his lap that John Dorsey, the GM of Kansas City at the time, gave him. And I don't see where those resources were.
I mean, you would think that an NFL team has a lot of resources. Mike, Seth, and Paul were discussing the Browns signing Kareem Hunt. I mean, Seth, you played for an NFL team for 10 years. I imagine that they do have a lot of people in the building who can help out wayward souls.
Yeah, they do. But it's kind of like, have you ever tried to talk to, like, one of your jackass cousins or something because his parents ask you to? You can only lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink the Prozac. That's the problem. Is you unless you monitor him. You know, when I was in Jacksonville, they were thinking about bringing Alonzo Spellman in. And you remember Alonzo Spellman?
He was How a could I forget?
Lineman,
crazy,
mostly for the Bears. I think he did his best work with the Bears, but he was an Adonis. Like, he had the prototype body for a defensive lineman. But where God giveth, he sometimes taketh away. And with Alonzo Spellman, it was on the emotional stability side of things. So Alonzo Spellman comes in, and all the Jaguars wanted was that they be allowed to monitor him taking his medication in the morning. Like, they wanted team personnel to give him the medication in the morning. Alonzo Spellman balked. And within 12 months, Alonzo Spellman was MIA. They spotted him on the roof of a hotel. And then he was half naked walking down the streets of Chicago. It was a mess. So they can try, but it's a matter of, like, okay, how are you going to actually respond to it?
We're discussing the Browns signing Kareem Hunt. If I were the Texans, I would not have seriously considered this. Let's go to Larry and Stafford on Mad Radio. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Mike, how you doing this morning, man?
Good.
Hey, you know, this hypocrisy that I'm hearing from some of these folks and some of y'all up there, man, it's kind of sickening, man. Because let me explain to you why. We understand no one is sitting here advocating that what Kareem Hunt has done was right. And no one is, I got a mother, I got sisters, I got nieces and nephews. And to see something like that, it's horrible. And we understand that kid made a mistake, and it happened. And he was young, and we're going to sit here and act like that he doesn't deserve an opportunity. And, Paul, I heard you said he had three chances. I know plenty of guys that have got multiple chances to play in the National Football League.
Why does he deserve a fourth? Why does he get the benefit of the doubt for a fourth?
Let me explain to you why. Because at some point in your life, you made mistakes. And so
yeah, you're right. I've gotten into so many fights and hit so many women.
But see, it's not about just that.
You brought me up.
I'm talking about in general, Paul, because you want to attack. Because here's the rationale behind it. Because you have been the same person that says it's okay for Brian Cushing to be in that locker room. It's not about the act. It's about their character. Both of these guys have made a mistake, and we understand it.
Totally different mistakes.
Yes, Paul, but so what? It's a mistake. And so you're saying that he doesn't deserve an opportunity to learn from it. But going from the Texas perspective on it, you want us to accept that this guy that you completely humiliated the fans of Houston and that team over there twice, but he's a right guy. But this guy, Kareem Hunt, doesn't even deserve a second look. The NFL has allowed Julian Edelman to become the Super Bowl MVP.
Stop confusing PEDs with guys who are beating up people off the clock. They're totally different.
I'm not confusing up anything. I'm talking about character. I'm talking about integrity. You're saying that one person is okay because his character is just because
yes, because he hasn't hit people.
He shot a needle up his ass, and the other guy got into an altercation. See, this is the
three altercations in 6 months.
This is the problem. This is the problem. This is the problem, Paul, because you're a hypocrite.
And you're yes, a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite.
You say one thing on one side of the fence, and the other thing
Larry,
on the other side.
Larry, hang on a second. Yeah. How the hell does someone who has had three violent incidents in 6 months, how does that relate to someone who has been, I don't know, found guilty of doing PEDs? Like, where is the comparison between those two?
See, this is the same argument.
No, it's not, Larry. Answer the question.
It's not apples and oranges. We're still talking about the character. That's what I'm talking about. What makes Brian Cushing's character so much better than Kareem?
I don't know. Not beating somebody else up. That's pretty. That's a pretty good step in the right direction.
Look at Paul. I'm telling you, it's not any difference because the character of this thing is the same. They both did something that they shouldn't have done, but you're saying it's okay for one person to be re-invited back into the community, and it's not. And I'm not just saying you specifically. I'm talking. I've been hearing this narrative throughout the whole city. The thing is that we cannot continuously just banish one guy for having a bad moral character or moral fiber and say, okay, but yeah, Kus, it's okay. And I'm a Cushion dude. I've always loved Cushion. But he's done some things that is unacceptable
Larry,
to me.
Larry, we got to run. Paul, give me the last word
one,
on this.
One, two, three, and four. This guy's getting four chances. Stop acting like it's because it's a second chance or a third chance or an opportunity to prove himself. It's because he's talented, period. That's it.